Good afternoon and welcome to Louisiana Focus, a production of the Communications Department of the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. I'm Kelly Tian.
And I'm Laura Trahan. In today's program, we'll look at what caused one Louisiana parish to file a class action lawsuit against Entergy following Hurricane Isaac.
There are new dietary guidelines for cafeterias nationwide. We'll hear from some Acadia athletes who are especially upset about the changes.
And lastly, some states are cutting funding for music programs, but Louisiana is trying to hold its ground to prevent this from happening. These stories and more up next on Louisiana Focus.
Louisianians have experienced lots of hurricanes in the past, but residents in Jefferson Parish were not ready to spend countless days without electricity following Hurricane Isaac. Entergy was left to face thousands of frustrated customers. Jessica Taylor has more on this story.
If you were one of the thousands of customers in Jefferson Parish who endured Hurricane Isaac last month without an electric generator, you know firsthand how difficult, and in some cases dangerous, life can be without electricity. Just ask Peggy Walker of Metairie, who was without power for a total of 6 days after the storm.
Oh, the heat was unbearable. As long as it was raining outside, it was sort of bearable, but to be in the house with no means of getting air in, it was just unbearable. My mother's 88 years old. I didn't feel it was good for her health. And I'm a diabetic and a heart patient, so I didn't feel it was too good for my health either.
Walker is not alone in her experience. Over 100,000 residents were without power for almost a week after Isaac, a truth that left Jefferson Parish President John Young seething.
Where is Entergy? We see their trucks. We see their trucks parked. We see a lot of Jefferson Parish public works vehicles. We see Jefferson Parish employees everywhere, but we don't see Entergy doing anything.
Young bashes Entergy for its seemingly slow and unmotivated process of returning electricity to both houses and businesses. So why did the process take as long as it did? A lineman who works for Entergy blames the slow-moving response on the slow-moving storm.
We had a lot of rain, which saturated the ground. The trees were uprooted with the wind. They took down the lawns. They took down the poles also. So, and it just takes time. We had people come in from out of town, and they have to report to us, and they have to go through a process of, getting checked in. They have to go over all of our safety rules and stuff like that before they can begin to work with us.
Despite the explanation of this Entergy employee, the Public Service Commission, which regulates Entergy Louisiana, hired an investigator to evaluate Entergy's response to the storm, as well as its preparation for the storm. As a result, Entergy spokespersons have begun to acknowledge flaws in regards to making information more available to customers who are literally left in the dark. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Jessica Taylor.
Cafeterias across the nation are struggling to meet the newly implemented guidelines adopted to fight childhood obesity, including schools in Louisiana. The new portions have some students still feeling hungry after leaving the cafeteria. Hannah Trahan has the full story.
Cafeterias across the nation are struggling to meet the newly implemented guidelines, which aim to decrease child obesity. The new portions have some students focused on still being hungry after leaving the cafeteria, more than the health benefits coming from the changes.
No one's really that happy about it because it's not enough for really anyone. It's not very good sometimes.
Some students, such as Colin Como, the starting quarterback at Lafayette High School, even have to bring snacks to class just to make it through the day.
Sometimes I have to bring extra food. I have hypoglycemia. It's really not filling.
Amy Freeman, the dietitian and nutrition education coordinator for the Lafayette Parish School System, knows the changes during the next few years may be difficult to get used to, but it's important for the student health to have these new rules.
These changes are based on the Dietary Guidelines for Americans.
Freeman knows even the basic changes are beneficial.
Some of the basic changes is that we now have to offer a fruit and a vegetable every day, and we also are looking at total percent of calories from saturated fat. That is such a dramatic effect on everyone when you have to start decreasing sodium, and we also are not allowed to have any type of trans fat in any of the menu items.
Freeman knows if we don't make changes now, things will only get worse.
Obesity in children will prevail in adulthood years with chronic disease and health conditions.
The changes include healthy alternatives, disguises, choices that kids recognize and like.
Our pizza is a whole wheat crust. The tomato paste equals a vegetable. It's low-fat cheese. It's turkey pepperoni. So it is a healthier option. And I think it's teaching the children that you don't have to completely cut everything out of your life to be healthy. There is a balance.
Unless students in Acadian are willing to take advantage of the new healthy menu, chances are they may start bringing outside snacks to campus, regardless of whether they are healthy or not. For the Louisiana Focus, I'm Hannah Traha.
The budget axe is falling all over the country, cutting many different programs, including music. In North Vermilion High School in Maurice, Louisiana, teachers and students find music education to be an important part of their lives. Laura Traha has the story.
Whether it is learning how to play an instrument or singing in a school choir, music education can be very important in shaping a person's life. However, in some states such as Indiana, Colorado, and Ohio, funds for music programs in schools have been cut to reduce the budget of public education. While there are currently no plans to go through with this in Louisiana, the thought of losing it can upset many people. Jude Gaspar, the band director at North Vermilion High School in Maurice, is clearly concerned about the threat that would hit close to home.
I mean, it scares me because it's my job. So to think that, you know, that would be one of the first things that school board would cut, I mean, it's very scary. And I've gone to conferences out of state, and I've heard of the troubles in other states. Like, for sure, California, I think, has been cut.
For some students, music education is vital to them and helps them to become the person that they are today. Without it, they might not have the same friendships or experiences they have now. North Vermilion High School student Jada Alexander explained that if music education did not exist in Louisiana, she would definitely not be the same.
If the music education was cut, I'd still be deciding what I wanted to go to school for. Most of my friends are in band, so my friendships, I wouldn't have the same friendships just because we're not with the same people making the same experiences and memories. So if music education was cut, I would definitely be a whole different person.
Despite the fear of losing band programs, the people at North Vermilion are confident that they will remain intact on the strength of how important it is in all aspects of life. Music and arts education is also essential for a child's development and gives them an opportunity to showcase their talents as they continue to learn. Principal Greg Terrio says that this is needed to help children reach their full potential.
I think it's tremendously important for us to continue music and arts education, because it shows the balance of what a child truly is and indeed a human being. You know, we've had arts and music as part of humanity for a lifetime, and I think to teach the well-rounded child, we need to have the ability to do that.
Music education not only helps a student learn about playing or singing, it is also said to have a positive effect on how they do in certain subjects such as math and science. Gaspar explains the correlation of learning about music and doing well in school, and how he believes that this is the main reason why music education is important.
Students that are involved in music, research shows that students that have some sort of music education, there's a correlation between scores, I think it's in math and science, that they actually score better than students that don't take music.
Alexander said that she did not like being in band at first, but as she got more involved in it, she learned to appreciate it.
Like when I started off in seventh grade, when I came to North Vermilion, I had no clue what I wanted to go to school for. And I was in the band program, but I really didn't like it. And when I came here, it kind of gave me motivation. It boosted my self-confidence. It made me into the person I am today.
Music education, shaping lives and giving people a purpose. For Louisiana Focus, I'm Laura Traha. Louisiana Focus is a production of the Communication Department in the University of Louisiana at Lafayette. It is produced in association with KRVS-FM. Today's producer is Ariel LeBlanc. The director is Jessica Taylor. And the faculty advisor is Professor Bill Davey. I'm Laura Traha.
And I'm Kelly Tien. We will see you next week.
And join us again next Monday for another edition of Louisiana Focus here on KRVS, Lafayette Lake Charles. Weather for the listening area, partly sunny. Sun's trying to break through and stay out this afternoon. High in the mid-70s, a north breeze at 15 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tonight with a low of 59. On Tuesday, mostly sunny with a high of 82. Currently, it is partly sunny, and it's 77 here on the campus of UL Lafayette. Coming up at 4 o'clock this afternoon, it's All Things Considered from NPR News. Judith Merriweather will join us in just a few minutes. Music begins with a performance by the Atlanta Symphony Orchestra under the direction of Robert Spano. This is Ray Vaughan Williams' Fantasia on a theme by Thomas Tallis.
And with me in the KRVS studios this afternoon is Vicki Christman. She is the interim executive director of PASA, here to talk about their season, their upcoming season, which opens in October. And Vicki, you know, we always think people who are listening to us know everything that we've been talking about over the years and sort of have it memorized, what people do. And but for those of our listeners who may not be completely familiar with what PASA does and what your goal is, how do you characterize your season and what you're trying to present to people in the community?
Well, PASA is the acronym for the Performing Arts Society of Acadiana, and this is our 23rd season, if you can believe that, of presenting quality performing arts in theater, dance, music, classical, pop, in all arenas. We do a lot of our presentations at the Hyman Center, but we've branched out and we now do a few smaller performances at the Acadiana Center for the Arts Theater.
Well, you all have always been really good, first of all, about presenting a wide array of genres of entertainment. It really is something for almost everyone. And you've really been good about reaching out into the community and going to other venues that make it a little more accessible, maybe more intimate performances.
Absolutely. That's one of our goals, to try to reach all segments of the population. We're really excited about our season this year. We think it has a wide diversity of programming and will really interest a large number of people.
Well, I know a lot of people have really educated their children on performing arts through PASA over the years. And you're starting off with a play of a great literary classic, Pride and Prejudice. And I'm sure there are a lot of girls out there going, oh, it's my favorite book.
It is. We have gotten a lot of interest on that one, and there are some major, major Pride and Prejudice and Jane Austen fans, and we're excited to bring this in. It is with the LA Theater Works, a professional company that tours but does a lot of their work in Los Angeles and does a lot of radio plays. This will be a staged play with a modified set, but the actors will be doing a number of roles and interchanging some.
Well, so that's going to be on the 28th. So people have a little bit of time to get their tickets, but it is October now.
I know. It's October 1st already. Yeah. Can you believe it? And it feels like fall, doesn't it? Yes, this first performance is at the end of the month. We also have a student performance the next morning for high school students and some junior middle school students as well. But we do have tickets on sale. They're on sale at the Hyman Center, single tickets. We also still have season tickets on sale at the moment. And season tickets currently are the only way one can buy ahead of time our Boss Skaggs tickets for our April performance.
All right. Yes, that y'all have always had that wonderful algorithm there.
That's right.
Encourages people to get those season's tickets. Boss Skaggs. Now, again, that rings a lot of chords with people around here as well.
It does.
So you need to get some season's tickets in order to be able to purchase those tickets.
Right at the moment, absolutely, okay. And get the best seats possible.
But for the other individual performances, you can both either get the season's ticket or purchase individual.
That's correct. They are all on sale individually at the moment.
But it is usually a pretty good deal to get the season's ticket.
It is. We've missed a little bit the discount period, but you still have that extra bonus of being able to order the Boss Skaggs ahead of time.
All right. Well, was Pride and Prejudice one of your favorite books?
Oh, it's one of my favorite books, one of my favorite movies.
Well, use the multiplier effect, and I know we have a lot of high school kids who listen right now who are getting off. Some of them may be reading it in school. Some of them may have read it a long time ago and reread it every year. So it really, that's a very...
Oh, it's a great classic.
Yeah. So that's Pride and Prejudice. If you're interested in the book, you like either the movie, the book, you like the characters, you like Jane Austen, this is a really great opportunity to indulge yourself in
Absolutely.
That with the play. So that's the season opener, October 28th, and then you all have in December, as a part of the main season, we'll talk about the singer-songwriter in a moment, you have Cirque Chinois.
Yes, this is with the National Circus of the People's Republic of China. They were the circus that, and the acrobatic troupe that first made popular the idea of a non-animal circus, of people doing acrobatic things and leading to the Cirque du Soleil concept. So they have been in this business for quite some time, and their production is just incredible.
Mm. And I'm sure you can find a website if you search Cirque Chinois.
Cirque Chinois, absolutely. See,
right, or on PASS's website.
You can link to them on ours as well.
All right. So, and we'll talk a little bit more about this at the end, but I've been to y'all's website, and it is a lovely site, very colorful, lots of great information. And I believe you have a Facebook page, too.
We do, indeed. And we plan on posting some videos of a lot of these performances, as you know, that we've found online. So check our Facebook page
out. Good page to like, and then you get all this great information about
the
performances
correct.
And perhaps some of the videos.
And
as
special
well.
Deals when we have those as well.
That's right. You get to find out about them, and you don't miss the concert. So then you can, those are the two concerts in the fall. You continue in February, I guess, with your main concert
it's
season?
It's in January,
okay.
And with the Canada's Royal Winnipeg Ballet. They present Moulin Rouge, the ballet. It is a Moulin Rouge story with all of the music, but in ballet form. And it is incredibly colorful, lively, has the great music that we know and recognize.
Mm-hmm. Again, you're just offering people so many interesting forms of entertainment that really touch those chords that we all know about, either historically
right.
or we've read about. So just a great season so far. And then in February, I was going a little bit ahead, you've got Suzanne Vega.
That's part of our singer-songwriter mm-hmm. series at the ACA. Last year was our first year to do this. We've mm-hmm. dipped our toes a little bit into exploring those artists who might be wonderful performers on their own right, but are also incredible songwriters.
How was that received?
It was well received. Mm-hmm. It was wonderful. Last year we had Guy Clark and Jerry Jeff Walker and Richard Lee, Keith Sykes. It was a good season. This year our season is Darden Smith, Suzanne Vega, and David Wilcox.
Now, do you need to buy the complete series? Or
you don't need to buy the complete series, but at the moment only the series is on sale. Mm-hmm. In November, the single tickets will go on sale.
All right. So tell us about those singer-songwriters you just mentioned. I think a lot of people are very familiar with Suzanne Vega, but maybe let's start off with Darden Smith. Who will open that season?
Absolutely. And he opens in November 30th. He's a Texas singer-songwriter based in Austin. There are a lot of fans of this kind of music who the name will ring a bell with. He has been to New York and Nashville. He has performed all over and is just really well-received and admired for his songwriting.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Darden Smith, who will start off the Pass a Singer-Songwriter series for 2012-2013. And then, of course, we did mention Suzanne Vega.
Mm-hmm. February.
So many of us know about her,
yeah.
And I know KRVS has been playing her music for many, many years.
Right. We are very excited about this mm-hmm. concert.
Yeah. So people might want to, as soon as tickets are available, see about
grab
getting
those, because the ACA Theater is small.
That's right, it is. So another reason to like PASA and find out
yes,
about
you'll know
those
the
concerts.
Day those tickets go on
That's
sale.
That's right. And then David Wilcox.
Yes, mm-hmm. Another one of those songwriters that just people love. He's been writing for over 30 years. He's one of the songwriters that performs his own work, but might be most known by having his work covered by people like Katie Lang and other artists of that type.
A true songwriter.
Mm-hmm.
So those are three people in the season. And
correct.
Again, you can find out more about them on your website.
That is correct.
And you can buy the season's tickets now.
Yes. You'll buy those individual. Through PASA.
All right. And then I guess we can talk a little bit more about BossGags, because the only way you can get a ticket is, of course, to get the season's tickets.
Absolutely. Yeah. Now, single tickets for those will go on sale later this mm-hmm. year, and we'll make that announcement when it's mm-hmm. available. Yes, we're quite excited about this concert in April. I mean, it's gotten a lot of buzz, and BossGags is known by a number of people and for mm-hmm. some of his songwriting.
Right, and some of his very early work.
His
really
early,
a lot
early
of people.
Work. Yeah. Yeah, 1976 album Silk Degrees. Mm-hmm. People know that. Even if they don't know, they know it.
That's
you
right.
start playing the Lido Shuffle and they go, that song.
That song, yeah. And then I think there are some people perhaps who even know his earlier work with the more
Steve,
bluesy.
Yeah, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. the Steve Miller Band.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So great thing to look forward to that PASS is bringing. But if you are interested in getting those tickets for sure, you may want to purchase your season's tickets and
correct.
Then get the BossGags tickets. If you're just tuning in, my guest is Vicki Christman. She is the interim executive director of PASA, here talking about their season, their 2012-2013 season that will start start on October 28th with a performance of Pride and Prejudice, and that will be at the Hyman Center. So the main concerts are at the Hyman Center, and the singer-songwriter performances will be at the ACA.
That's correct. We have Boskaks plus their four main stage shows at the Hyman. The last one of the season in March is Dreamgirls, the musical. And we're quite excited about that one as well.
All right. Well, again, check out that website. What is the website address, Vicki?
www.pasaonline.org.
Okay, and then Facebook, you can find it there, or
yes,
just search
it's,
for it.
Whatever the Facebook, yeah. You know, dash,
yeah, slash,
PASA online, yeah.
Okay, so website and Facebook, and you can be kept apprised of all of these performances in the season, and then I know with all performing arts groups, you're already kind of starting to look ahead to the next year, so.
Oh, we are, yeah. So, you know, we take suggestions as well. Mm-hmm. We can't always make people's dreams come true, but we are happy to hear your suggestions and your ideas for the future.
All right. And I noticed driving by on near the Hyman Center, those great, beautiful...
The banners.
Yes, banners. They look quite colorful and make you want to go buy a ticket.
Don't they, though?
So if you don't have an opportunity to drive by there, you can go to the website and see those wonderful images as well. And do you have some video on your website right now of some of these performers?
We don't at the moment, but we will build some of that up.
Okay, well, again, check that out. And Facebook is this lovely way of sort of bookmarking without, you know, mm-hmm. having to check it periodically.
That's correct.
It comes to you. So that's PASA, the Performing Arts Society of Acadiana. And hopefully we'll be speaking with you just before Pride and Prejudice to find out a bit more about that.
Absolutely.
But those individual tickets are on sale.
They
now.
Are indeed.
Okay. You can find out more either through the PASA website or, I guess, the Hyman Center. You can get tickets for that one.
For the main stage of Boskaks, mm-hmm. you do call the Hyman Center. But if you have questions about the season or the series, please call us at the office at 237-2787.
All right. Well, Vicki, thank you so much.
Well, thank
again,
you, Judith.
Following in that great tradition, celebrating 23 years of entertaining
yes.
us all with wonderful performances that we'd have to travel far otherwise.
Absolutely.
To see. Thank you so much, Vicki.
Thank you, Judith.
Thank you.
Now a look at what's happening in the arts and culture in South Louisiana. Continuing education professional development courses are being offered through the University of Louisiana at Lafayette in all topics, including motivation training, real estate 101, QuickBooks Pro, PowerPoint 2010, a computer technician program, an office application specialist certificate, lots of courses being offered through continuing education. You can go to their website, which is ce.louisiana.edu, or call their office on campus at 482-6386. At the Hilliard University Art Museum, a number of exhibits are on display, mostly Louisiana artists, including Rhyme and Reason, The Art of Sean Major, Louisiana Voices, Six Artists Speak to Us, a collection of Louisiana watercolorists, an installation by Louisiana Lake Charles native Ken Kutara called Viaticus. Also still up on display is Discovering Egypt in Louisiana, the Ambassador Jefferson Caffrey collection. Also Uro's House by artist Grimanesa Amoros. And on October 5th, the College of the Arts Beaux Arts Ball. For more information on that, you can go to the Hilliard or the College of the Arts here at UL Lafayette. Also, the art auction starts today on the UL Lafayette campus in the Dean's Gallery of Fletcher Hall. All of this will support student scholarships in the College of the Arts. You can view all of those items at a special website. You can go to call the College of the Arts or Fletcher Hall and find out exactly where to go to view those items on Flickr. The art works will be on display through Thursday, October 4th, and the Beaux-Arts Ball will be on the 5th at River Oaks, and the process will continue there. Again, all proceeds go to help scholarships here at UL. This is Homecoming Week. It's already kicked off yesterday. They've continued activities today with lots of student events. There will be a Paint the Town Red at businesses all tomorrow. There will be a carnival in the quad tomorrow. Paint the Town Red continues on Wednesday. The Yell Like Hell competition will be on Thursday, and the UL Lafayette Wind Ensemble will give their homecoming concert on Thursday, October 4th in Angel Hall. The theme is musical games, and there will be gaming music and the National Game, a composition by John Philip Sousa. A really great concert. It's a free concert in Angel this Thursday, October 4th, as a part of the homecoming activities here at UL Lafayette. The Gaines Center and the UL Creative Writing Program present writer Michael Griffith. He will be reading in the Ernest J. Gaines Center tomorrow at 7:30. The Ernest J. Gaines Center is in Dupre Library on the third floor. Michael Griffith's books of fiction have been widely published. He is, has a novel out called Spikes, Bibliophilia, and stories that have been published in journals all around the country. That's tomorrow evening at 7:30. Writer Michael Griffith will be reading in the Ernest J. Gaines Center. The banned books readout will be on Wednesday in front of Dupre Library at 2 o'clock. Volunteer participants will be reading short passages from banned or challenged books throughout history. You can bring a banned or banned book or choose one provided by the library. The event is free and open to the public. It looks like it's going to be clear and sunny weather for that program. The Center for Louisiana Studies will have a special program at the South Regional Library in Lafayette on Wednesday. It's called the Historic Bridges Inventory. The Louisiana Department of Transportation and Development, in coordination with the Louisiana State Historic Preservation Office, have commissioned a project to study the historic bridges throughout Louisiana and develop a process to manage and preserve these valued resources. That program will be this Wednesday, the 3rd, 7 o'clock, at the South Regional Library in Lafayette. And Dr. Ray Brasseur will be giving a talk at 4 p.m. It's called The State of the Studies. He will be talking about anthropology and his field, cultural anthropology. That will be in the Edith Garland Dupre Library on the UL Lafayette campus. And on the 3rd, to find out more about what's happening with the PACE program, with teachers, arts teachers in the schools. That will be on Wednesday, October 3rd at the school board meeting. You can find out more about their schedule at that website. The McNeese State University Department of Visual Arts is hosting a free lecture and book arts workshop on Wednesday the 3rd in the Shearman Fine Arts Center. That will be given by Neil Cox, who is a specialist in artists' books. He will be speaking and also giving a workshop in the Abercrombie Gallery. Tour du Teche will begin on Thursday with a special celebration. Lots of events going on in Port Barry at the Veterans Memorial Park. And then on Friday, the race begins from the Port Barry boat launch. There will be an opening ceremony at 6:30 in the morning. For more information, you can go to their website, thetourdutèche.com, to find out more about all of these activities taking place on the Bayou Teche. The College of the Arts will be celebrating again with the Beaux-Arts Ball on the 5th. You can get tickets now by calling the College of the Arts to find out more about that celebration, which helps to benefit the College of the Arts and scholarships. An art exhibit will open on Thursday the 4th in Breaux Bridge called Trois La La. It features three artists, Virgie Banks, Megan Barra, and Michelle Fontenot. That opening reception will be from 6 until 8 p.m. Thursday, October 4th. It will be at Café des Amis on Bridge Street in Breaux Bridge. In Lake Charles, Itinerant Theater presents a play by Carolyn Woosley, performed by Anne Savoy, called Cloma, A First. It is a part of the monologues and dramatic presentations that Carolyn Woosley has created. Thursday through Saturday, Cloma will be performed at the Imperial Calcasieu Museum Annex. There will be various events happening around the performance. On Thursday evening, there will be a question and answer period after the play. On Friday, at 7 o'clock, there will be a special performance of a piece by Angela Wubin called Things from Our Past at 7:30 Cloma, and then a CD release party for Anne Savoy's disc of all Cloma recordings. On Saturday, Cloma will be performed at 7 o'clock, and at 8 o'clock, the Magnolia Sisters will perform two sets of music. All of these activities will be in the annex at the Imperial Calcasieu Museum. For more information or tickets, you can go to Itinerant Theater and find out more there, itinerantheater.com. The McNeese Department of Performing Arts will present a free faculty recital featuring Dr. Brett Smythe in Ralph Squires Hall on Thursday, October 4th. The program will feature Winter's Journey, reinterpreting Franz Schubert's Winterreise through sight and sound. That will be this Thursday, 7:30, in the Sherman Fine Arts Center. And at the Manship Theater in Baton Rouge on Thursday, an opening reception for works by Dickie Landry. That will open on the 4th and run through October 31st. That opening reception at the Manship will be at 7 o'clock this Thursday. And on Thursday, there will be a very special presentation by a duo of multi-instrumentalists, Danny DeVillier and Dallas Griffith, along with three surprise musical guests, will be performing at the Blue Moon Saloon Thursday, October 4th. I do believe they will be on Cecil's program on Wednesday. You can hear them talking about that performance at 11 o'clock. The Bach Lunch Series continues or starts up this Friday, October 5th, with a performance in Parc Sans Souci from noon to 1 by Les Frères Michaud. Downtown Alive will be in Parc Sans Souci this Friday with a performance by Fifth Avenue, and the UL Homecoming Pep Rally will be there as well. At the Acadiana Center for the Arts this Friday, October 5th, the Mark Whitfield Quartet will perform as a part of the Jazz at the Center series. Tickets are available through the ACA. In Lake Charles, the Artist Civic Theater and Studio will open their 47th season. They will present Dolly Parton's 9 to 5, The Musical, and that will premiere Friday, October 5th at the One Reed Street Theater, directed by Damien Thibodeau. For more information, you can go to their website, which is actstheater.com. And again, mentioning the Beaux-Arts, find out more by calling the College of the Arts. Saxophonist Dave Rimpas will be visiting Louisiana and performing at Cité des Arts this Friday at 109 Vine Street in downtown. Performing with him will be Jeff Albert on the trombone, Joseph Butts on bass, and Marcello Benetti on drums. And we'll be speaking with Joseph Butts later on this week about that performance. Acadiana Word Lab will be kicking off this Saturday, October 6th, with Jessica Bordelon of Revolution Theory. That will be at Cité des Arts from 2 to 4 p.m. It will take place every Saturday. There's no formal membership, but people can come together to work on their craft with spoken word and poetry. Each week, a different guest presenter will be there. This Saturday, October 6th, it will be Jessica Bordelon of Revolution Theory. And opening at the Science Museum in downtown Lafayette will be the Museum of Fear. It will be every Friday and Saturday night in October. For more information, please go to the Lafayette Science Museum's website, which is lafayettesciencemuseum.org.